Welcome to Jump Point, where we'll talk the gamut of gaming topics. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas, joined by...
Rosa.
And...
I'm Michael Bunny, no relation.
Is that what you're going to say? You're going to go with
that? Yes, I'm going to go with that.
Awesome. How's it going, party people?
It's been going okay.
It's been good.
Welcome back, Rosa. You've been gone for a while.
Thank you. I skipped a couple, and I'm dealing with family stuff, but now I'm back. The whole time, though, because I spent a lot of time sitting with my dad while he was watching... Turner movie classics, I was playing Hearthstone.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, yes.
There's a lot of
I'm
John
like,
Wayne.
Like, there was many with John Wayne.
People are wondering what we're doing live right now on that. If you're not watching live, this means nothing to you. We're actually streaming our podcast Jump Point here.
Let me guess.
No, we're all like serious sitting around this table.
Yeah, this is sort of this. I'm still working on getting everything set because...
I love how sarcastic that is. Let me guess. My so-called...
We'll talk about
sarcastic
Taylor.
Sarcastic as fuck.
Taylor is his own force to be reckoned with, and I'll leave it at that for now.
Because he shares his name with Taylor Johnson
we're live right now. So.
Taylor Kitsch, that was the name.
I tend to watch my words when we're live. When we're recording, I can edit myself.
I have no shame at this point.
I'm kidding, Taylor.
God, the pressure.
But yeah, so this is our gaming podcast. For those who have never watched this, and like I said, we're still working on getting everything set up for live. Like, I ultimately want two more cameras, but the cost per like camera and capture card is like $600 a pop.
I'm sure we can ask the NSA to let us wire the cameras in here.
See that many angles.
I don't know, but I want that like you know, camera here, camera here, camera here. It is
camera
like
one,
this three
camera
exactly.
Two.
I want that. I want camera that video, two. Beautiful podcast. Like we're almost there. We're so close that I can taste it of doing an official video podcast of this.
What do you see better, camera one or camera two?
Well, because like you've been gone for a while and you haven't seen
three.
The whole. Multi XLR input, capture audio stream on the Mac there. Like, you have not seen any of this stuff. All of this is sort of new and exciting to you. And for me, this is all like last week's stuff. So even like the idea that we're streaming is new and exciting. But we're not talking about streaming or OBS or anything like that. We are actually talking about games on this podcast and such.
Really?
That's sort of our MO.
Talk about Paul Blart for a while last time.
We talked about comics because you're crazy ass.
I'm not going to start because I'm wearing a Captain America shirt. And I can easily start.
That.
I can springboard off of that.
We'll work.
Any new games that you guys have been playing while I've been gone?
I've been playing Shadows of Mordor.
Oh, really?
Hmm. Yes.
Okay. I've heard that's really good.
Hasn't that been on Steam?
I don't know, actually.
Deal?
I think so. I really don't know. It's been
murderific.
Yeah. It's an older game, but have you liked it so far?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, because you got because while you were gone, he bought a PS4.
Yeah, I finally have a PS4.
So he's been like...
Go ahead.
He's been going... What do you say?
No, my mom found my PS2 while I was over there.
Oh, okay.
And
oh,
shipping it.
Nice. Yeah, the last time you came, we had to give you a PS2.
Tell me more about these games.
So-called
games.
But, you know, obviously PS4...
See, if you go to Newgrounds and you find the adult section, I'm just kidding.
So that's the only thing you've been playing on the PS4?
Oh, well, I've been playing that. I've also still been playing Far Cry, and that's about it. I think I played one other thing. I downloaded the Japanese demo, the JoJo's new fighting game.
Okay,
The Eyes of Heaven is what it's called.
I'm familiar with that one.
It's a fighting game based off an anime that apparently hasn't actually come out yet. I thought it was already out, and I was confused that it wasn't. And it plays a lot like those Naruto games where you run around kind of thing,
right?
Instead of the Street Fighter style they had in their last fighting game. It's a lot of fun, and it's very loud. Out of all the games I've played, it's the loudest one on my TV and the speaker on my controller.
I think that means we're getting old.
No, because like,
too loud.
Like I'll play Shadows of Mordor and I'll have it at a specific volume. And then when I played the demo, that volume was too loud for that the demo, but not Shadows of Mordor, which is what caught me off guard.
I finally last night finished Dead Money on New Vegas. I've been kind of going through all the content of Fallout New Vegas as much as possible, coming up to the release of Fallout 4.
Sweet.
And so I finally, because again, I have to beat at least one of them before the game comes out. And so I basically picked New Vegas. That's the farthest I've gotten in the game so far.
You almost said Deadpool there, didn't you?
I always said Deadpool. So I beat Dead Money last night finally, and so I'm just kind of traveling through the waste a little bit, and then I'm gonna go. Finally complete the last DLC, which is Lonesome Road there on New Vegas. Complete that. Yeah. Once that's done, beat the game, put it to bed.
And you're ready for...
And then I got to get a new video card for Fallout 4. Because they were actually showing a lot of, I was looking at actually the Bethesda YouTube channel, and they had a whole bunch of all their like gameplay footage they showed at like Xbox and stuff like that, and it just, it looks pretty. I mean, as pretty as the game can be. I mean, sure, people are like, it doesn't look as, like, I think it looks as pretty as it can be. I don't know.
With all the stuff that's in it, that's pretty, it's still very pretty.
Yeah.
Considering.
It looks expansive. It looks like a world. There's water flowing. There's a lot of stuff going on, and I'm so freaking intrigued to play the game. It's like the one game that I'm like, I'm super looking forward to and that. But beyond that, I've been playing, I've just been playing that. I'm playing New Vegas, and I recently did a Let's Play record, but we had to still edit it on Don't Touch Anything. Have you played this game yet?
No.
So this is the concept of the game. You kick into this. You joke, but you joke, but that's what it is. Is that you kick into this sort of like pixely looking interface, like picture of a machine with a single button. You see this text go over the screen that says, "Hey, I got to use the bathroom really quick. Do you mind watching this? Cool. Oh. Whatever you do, don't touch anything."
So the entire game is the basis of a Ren and Stimpy episode.
You kind of, because ultimately you hit the button, and when you hit the button, something happens. You hit the button again, another thing happens. You keep hitting it, something happens. Like, it becomes a sort of weird, like, trying to, like, break a puzzle that you don't quite know that you don't even know what you're supposed to do. There's clues around you to figure it out. Me and Charles were playing it, or Charles and I were playing it, I should say. And it was just this strange thing of, like, I'm loving this game, and things would happen that are just bizarre and trigger points, and it's I kind of want to play this more. I know I want to play this more in my own kind of private way, in terms of like I can't.
Not sure what that means.
Is it possible to just not touch the button and be super anxious?
See,
I don't know.
I don't know. You joke, but you.
I'm not joking. I'm serious.
Possibly, because there's some like weird things where you like find a screwdriver that opens up another piece of button. You find a hammer that if you bust like the button, it becomes this like alien creature comes out of it.
Missed a little bit. Like you're just
it
like,
is.
What am I doing here? I need to be doing stuff.
Well, at least Myst has you find a video that says, you know, Catherine, I have to leave quickly in Myst. This is like you hit the button, man, if you want. You hit the button, it's like, oh, shit, a switch came out. What happens? I hit it again. Oh, damn, this came out. What if I keep hitting it? Oh, it locked up now. Well, great. Or what if I hit the switch and hit the button? Oh, the world exploded. Like, it's things like that. It's just weird. It's in the monitor, you see a city.
I don't
city.
Know that I would enjoy that. I need purpose.
You do have a purpose, but I think it's more of a, it's just sort of like you stumble around said purpose. Like, it doesn't say, like, here's your end goal. It's sort of a, here is the here's the button. You do with what you will. And only because what happens, you hit the button and this thing happens and you become more intrigued because you're like, well, that happened. What does that do? You know, and that's what happens is that what does that do? What does this do? How does
that
this do?
That insatiable curiosity.
Exactly. Exactly. It's that you're like, what does this button? You know, that does, what does this button do? It's more like, what did this button do? What happens if I flip the switch and hit the button? You know, what goes on then?
Yeah. Sounds exhausting.
It's been crazy, but it was
thinking
really
of Tiny Toons again now for some reason. I'm picturing
the right?
Character is just
ooh,
little.
What does
just little Plucky. Instead, that's the actual game the whole time.
You joke, but like there's, because at one point we had found a hammer, and I had just apropos of nothing, like took the hammer to the screen, and like it's like, you know, it's like, I'm gonna break this. You break the screen. There's this big giant question block behind it. Like, what? You hit the button. The game starts shaking, whatever, and like the Illuminati, like eye with the pyramid comes on the screen, and the game crashes.
What if? Okay,
go on.
I'm all about conspiracy theories.
Go on.
So what if it's actually some kind of brainwashing game, and
it
you're
could
just
be.
Clicking stuff? And
it could be.
Before you know, you're gonna be like walking in your sleep, and you're gonna wake up at the ATM.
I hope I hope that game has like because. A lot of games that are on computers will capture stats and you know, leaderboards and potentially like online information and stuff like that. I hope that this kind of game collects that kind of data. If just nothing more for like the most bizarre infographic.
Odd question. How many times did you push the button before you realized you could do other things?
I pushed it once. Once the other thing happened, I clicked the other button. I didn't click the other button again. I thought you couldn't do anything more. I go. Well, what happens? If I hit the button again. Oh shit! Something else happened. What happens? If I do this. Oh damn! A screwdriver came out. What do I do with the screwdriver? What if I unscrew those screws over there? What more buttons? You know, it's so like.
So again, how do you win?
I don't know.
Oh.
I haven't figured that out yet. I don't know yet.
I kind of want to do this because I want to push the button, just the single button, as many times as possible.
Eventually locks up.
Does it just lock up?
It actually locks up in the game. It says, like, nope.
After
it
splashed some subliminal.
Because it has like a restart switch, a reset switch when things go horribly wrong to reset it back to its normal state.
Okay.
Well, other than touching stuff you weren't supposed to touch.
That's
what you've been doing.
That's what I'm
doing. Stuff you weren't supposed
to touch. And you were just freaking playing virtual card game.
Yeah, well, don't judge.
No, I'm not judging. Hearthstone's a
big judge. I finally gave in, and hopefully my husband isn't listening because I did pay for the stupid grand tournament card.
Nice.
Which I said I wasn't ever going to spend money on Hearthstone, but I got so mad at the thought of I was going to be completely outclassed because I haven't paid for anything to date, basically. And I was like, you know what? I want to keep playing, but my deck's going to be completely irrelevant. They already are without as many mechs as everyone else. So I went ahead and
I know a lot of people play Hearthstone and really, really dig, really, really dig the whole damn thing. How do you, like, I approach Hearthstone on a almost weirdly casual level. I know, because you're using terms that, like, I'll put it this way. When you said that you're outclassed, you're using terms that someone like plays like Magic the Gathering professionally or like for ranked would say. Like, do you tend to play in the ranked stuff or?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been lower than like 16.
Oh, damn.
But no, that's like nothing. All the people that I play with and my friends, everybody's on there. They're like nines, eights, sevens, sixes, and I'm just like, oh, I hate you guys. And they I don't even know like the terms of the decks. They're calling us such and such paladin, or right now it's a control warrior. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about, man.
So okay, so you're not that hardcore.
I'm not. I'm really not. I don't care enough. I don't have enough time to just research and invest the time in it. I don't. I just like playing. I like the cards. I like the art. I like. Same thing as before with Heroes of the Storm. Like, yeah. I just like the integration. I like seeing the characters and the cards and what they've imagined with it and what they do. What I was going to say is, but I did get to, I saw that they had King's Quest on Steam, and I could not resist. So as soon as I had a chance, I started playing it.
I saw no advertisements for that.
Well, it was when
it came out.
Well, because I thought that... Was it a Kickstarter game? I'd like to believe it was.
I remember at an E3 or it was some convention.
I'd have to check.
They showed, like, they had one of the people be like, "Oh, I have given my blessing to this thing," and that's the last I'd heard of it. And then they're like, "Now it's out." I'm like, "What the fuck happened in between that?"
No,
I didn't hear anything.
It made it out, and
it just sort
beautiful.
Of happened all of a sudden.
It is gorgeous. I played all the way through King's Quest VI.
Yeah,
when it had that epic, very knighty sounding duet, whom I have no idea who sings it, but. I was like, oh, I actually remember the lyrics to that song.
I hear there's a couple celebrity voices in this new one.
Are there? I don't know. I thought the narration, but
apparently
the old king
Chris
was amazing.
Lloyd is, Christopher Lloyd is the the old king.
Oh, my gosh.
And and apparently Wallace Shawn is in it.
Who's that? Really?
Yeah.
Who?
Wallace Shawn.
Oh, okay.
The guy from Princess Bride.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
The inconceivable guy.
Yeah. I met...
Who's also Rex in
Toy Story. I met him.
I would love to meet Carrie Elwes.
He is a ham. And he loves the ladies. The more cleavage, the better.
That sounds like Cary Elwes. That sounds like what I pictured Cary Elwes to actually be like.
He was. He was
not
so hungover. We went to do photo ops with him, and I swear, he had his dark glasses on, which they put on sometimes because of all the flashes.
Yeah.
They're sitting through 75 photos in one sitting. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure it wasn't just because of the lights. He was like...
Man used to drink with Andre the Giant, so he's
yeah,
probably
looks,
still
looks like
right.
it, yeah,
probably
looks like it wasn't
mode.
A crowdfunded game. It was it's distributed by Activision Blizzard, so because Sierra Entertainment,
which is even weirder that I didn't hear anything about it.
Well,
so
I think
it just
it's,
sort
well,
of popped
it,
up.
It came like the game itself. I remember was that like oh, there's a new King's Quest being made. Like really, there's a new King's Quest being made?
Yeah, it was very
only because it
very
was
surprising at the time.
Because it's the kind of like we're now
and then
in
I heard
a,
nothing afterwards.
Well, because we're now in a part of gaming, like the way you develop things.
Mm-hmm.
That you can do the episodic. Like, the episodic is now a thing. Like, you make episodic games. Like, you know, we have Telltale's
thing. I thought it was great. I've watched, but I was playing today, and I literally squealed in glee today. I was like,
well, because, like, that's how it is for any of the freaking point-and-click adventure. Like, I'm a huge point-and-click adventure game guy.
Yeah.
I played a few, but not a lot.
I religiously played a ton. Like one of my all-time favorite things is how do I best explain it? One of my all-time favorite freaking point and click adventure games, actually Full Throttle, an old LucasArts game. But like I would, you know, I played all the Sam Max games. I played, you know, all, a lot of these. I only played
one of the Monkey Island ones, the Indiana Jones, the Fate of Atlantis, and the Back to the Future Telltale one.
Yeah,
those are the only three that I've played to completion.
Pretty much into it. But King's Quest has always been notoriously, the hardest ones. At least the King's Quest have been notoriously just difficult. Only because you can actually get into a King's Quest game. Like,
because they're very silly.
Well, they are silly, but like...
there's nothing wrong with that, though.
Right. No, silly's fine. It's just with a King's Quest game and a lot of those older Sierra games, you can set it in a state where you just can't win anymore. Like, there are some of the games where if you did something wrong...
Oh, yeah.
Like, early on the game, you are literally screwed.
Yes.
I think it was, like, one of the Space Quest games, actually, that had where if you would kiss this one character,
oh, that's right, you told me,
and you get down the line, like you start to get sick and you die or something,
like,
because did this thing, like, you know, an hour, you know, 30 to 40 minutes ago, not thinking anything of it, and you can't go back and correct.
Apparently, there was somebody was telling me about there was another one of those games where they did something and then. You don't get a reaction from it until like towards the very end of the game, like hours later.
Oh my god!
Like from this one trivial thing that you probably did, and then you're just dead all of a sudden because of something you did.
Well, I hope so. You know what? That always makes me nervous. Like I get to the, you know, the crossroads, and I'm like, oh god, what do I do? And I'm like, do I, you know, because it, like one of the very first options to get is something like, do you do X, Y, and Z to the dragon, or do you do blah 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 to the dragon? I'm like. What do I do? This is going to impact me later. I know it.
Yeah, that's mainstream game that isn't an actual like adventure game that does that is the Mass Effect games.
Yeah,
because there were plenty of times in the Mass Effect games I'm flip the switch real quick kind of thing. Like I'm sure that's fine. Like a couple hours later, I'm like, did you flip the fucking thing? I'm like, maybe.
I know you never answer yes.
Like everyone is dead. I'm like, fuck.
Tondagas in the chat room says fail states without fairly immediate feedback is just horrible. A lot of people do hate it. Now I'm okay with it because I love, like, I'm always a fan of when you set something up as a gag early on and then it comes back around as a joke. It's great.
40 minutes of effort later, though.
But those
that
are
would
different. That's
ass.
A different story. With the game, and that's sort of the thing of the King's Quest games that were those Sierra games are completely and utterly crazy. Was that you would get into a state where you would die, and that's typically not what happens. Like a lot of LucasArts games, when they consciously made those point and click adventure games, you cannot die. There's only one game that they developed in that point in time, I think, that you can die, and that's if you stay underwater for more than 10 minutes, because it's a completely hidden thing in Secret of Monkey Island. Because at one point, the main character Guybrush Threepwood says, "I can hold my breath for 10 minutes," you know, just as a skill or something. And so you get underwater, and you're there perpetually, like underwater, like, wow, you're here for a pretty long time. If you let it go for 10 minutes, you will die. But that's again a gag that was set up, and it's a really funny moment. And again, you start the game from right then and there, nothing wrong. But
no,
traditionally,
you get set back.
Yeah, but traditionally, you don't die. But like that one is like a fail state that you're just like, I can't. You can't come back from. Like, you can die in places, but... like, because even King's Quest, you can die, too, and you will die in silly ways. I don't think it's as bad
as... Yeah, but there's lots of save points along the way, and which, actually, I wasn't used to. Like, I was like, oh, crap, I made a wrong decision, and I'd forgotten what it was like to play a game where, you know, there's save points.
There's save points and whatnot.
I know, I don't play, you know, stuff like that anymore, so...
No, yeah,
They also have one, I bought it, I haven't even installed it, it's called Lucy... It's something about a little girl with an axe murderer.
You know what's funny?
8-bit.
There's a lot of so many weird games coming out as of late that
definitely an indie.
Oh yeah, well there's always an indie game or two.
There's quite a few of them.
Yeah, there's quite a few of them. There's always that. But I mean, because it's
an understatement. Yes.
Well, because it's been a weird week for news in terms of games. I realize we're talking about games we're playing and whatnot, versus news. Because it's been a very strange week for news.
Did you guys check any of the Doctors Without Borders? I don't know. I put it on the board from the previous one.
I don't think I got the chance there.
But or no, maybe I just put it on.
Well, explain.
Well, this is it's. What is the?
We'll kick over the old board.
Dang it, it's the
it was on the
Fast
Snack,
Play.
Oh, Super Games Done Quickly or whatever. Super SG.
Games Done Quickly.
Super was it because is it Games Can't. Done
Quick.
Quick, yeah.
Yeah, 2015, and it benefited Doctors Without Borders, and
I didn't realize Summer Games Done Quick. Yeah, that's been going on. I didn't realize it was actually benefiting a charity.
Yes. And you could actually, there were, you know, hours watching certain games where people were doing, you know, donation matching and stuff.
Yeah,
it's really
cool.
Plus, you know, I wanted to win that, you know, PlayStation 4 for those that donated. I haven't gotten the notice yet, so apparently I haven't won anything. But for good cause. And I watched all the Kirby's.
I need to watch some of those because there's a, they had a, one of the, I think one of the games on there is, this was funny because Chrono Trigger was done quickly. I had a friend of mine, my friend online, Rob Kreckel, was actually a sound engineer for video game stuff. He actually does sound engineering for a lot of the Naughty Dog games, to be honest. He actually did. He actually worked on a lot of the Uncharted series.
Really?
Yeah, he worked at least on Uncharted 3. He was on Twitter asking about, like, had anyone bought Chrono Trigger for iOS? And I'd known a little bit about the game on iOS being the port of the DS version, but I'd never played the iOS version, so I couldn't, you know, say anything. Because he'd been watching the whole Summer Games Done Quick,
and
they'd been starting Chrono Trigger. He's like, I kind of want to play Chrono Trigger again.
Yep.
Which has sort of happened a lot with me, because, like, I've wanted to watch a couple of footage. I've been meaning to watch a lot of them. I've missed a lot of the things, but I know that they've done a lot of the games, like, oh, yeah, that's right. I should play that game again. Like
it does. It gives you that, ooh, oh my gosh, that's how you pass that part.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's how you collect that star.
Well, because, like, speedrunning is one of those, like, fascinating parts.
Oh, it's fascinating.
Of gaming that, like, I understand and I don't understand. Because, like, part of
it. What is there not to understand?
Well, I say I don't understand because I'm like, I love, like, because for me, I love experiencing a game, and even if it's a game I played like a billion and 20 times, I love re-experiencing a game and getting back into it, and going through the motions and just sucking it in.
But wouldn't you want it? Isn't that like part of the experience? Like, you know, you may have experienced it various times, but you're like, you know what, I'm going to go through it as fast as I can.
No, see, but that's never my thing. It's not even like I want to go through it as fast as I can. It's like I want to play it to completion. Like that. Like for me, the end goal isn't how fast
like,
I beat
the
game.
You're about savoring it.
Well, it depends on what I'm playing, and Sonic the Hedgehog's very existence is based off the idea of a speedrun.
Yeah.
See, I'm the guy that plays Sonic and goes, I want to collect all the Chaos Emeralds.
There's
like, that's my
wrong
mission.
With that.
Like,
no,
my mission
is
always
like,
Chaos Emeralds.
But if when I'm playing Ninja Trolls 4, I'm going to see how fast I can get through the entire game.
Whereas I'm again, the weird person.
My fastest time is 15 minutes, by the way.
By the way.
Well, because, like, for me,
it's a lot of throwing enemies at the screen kind of thing.
It really is a lot of.
I'm really good at it.
A lot of it is, for me, is that whole. You know, not just like savoring a game per se, but just going in. Like, for example, if we did a you know, to completion run of Chrono Trigger, I might go, you know what? I really do want to get all the Triple Texas time. Let's try to get the gold rock, you know, the whole gold rock near the end of that point. Let's try to do these weird side quest things. Where if you're speedrunning, you'd probably skip that stuff.
Yeah.
Unless you have like a certain mission, like, all right, your speedrun has to have all these extra stuff done. You have to have the rainbows, you know, you have to have gotten
a challenge. You're like,
right, exactly. And then that becomes part of
the whole
thing.
I'll never be able to do that for Crash Bandicoot 3.
Oh my god, I love Crash Bandicoot.
That's the only
obsession.
Crash Bandicoot I 100%ed legitimately was Crash Bandicoot 3, and it took me forever.
Yeah, I could play the bear level over and over and over. That was my obsession. We were back when I used to party and be bad. We'd just get in a group and we would just sit there and play Crash Bandicoot.
I will say though, when it comes to speedrunning, I'm very fascinated by the tool assisted speedruns. I've said this many times. You know what that is? The TAS crowd.
Mm-mm.
So the tool assisted speedrun crowd is utilizing things like emulators and watching memory side things and kind of how, you know, it's almost like playing the game, but to the point where you're playing against the engine.
Okay.
Where because you're watching how a random number in the Nintendo for Dragon's Quest is generated, and because you know certain inputs will help skew that number your way, that you tend to do a speedrun in ways that humans can never accomplish.
There's a lot of Super Mario Brothers ones like that.
Yeah, because all of them will, you know, you can, for example, take an emulator, slow down the gameplay, And so you can time moves and things like that. But you can do other crazy things, like in terms of manipulation, like what's called luck manipulation. Like there's actually like discussions of how you take advantage of a glitch that does this and this and this. And the way you get a glitch is because you're able to hit buttons in a way that the game
was not intended.
You know,
because there's the Mario 64's endless stair glitch.
Yep.
Which is like if you don't get all the stars, you can't run up the stairs.
You know, have you played Mario 64 before?
No, I have not.
So in Mario 64,
all the 64 stuff.
So in Mario 64, in the Super Mario Bros. 64, you're essentially collecting all the stars to gather the games and whatnot.
Well, you collect all the stars so you can fight Bowser. Depending on how many stars you get, depends on whether or not you can get through the door. The last time you fight Bowser, you have to get past something called the endless stairs. It's called that because you don't have all the stars.
It
and
just
you're
keeps
running,
looping.
It just loops the entire time.
Until you figure out, like,
until you get on,
until you just get the stars, and then like it stops it from looping.
Right, exactly.
Whereas, speedrunners figured out the glitch where if you do something specific, you'll just fly up to where the door is without having to deal with the stairs.
Yeah, you'll just kind of do this like weird hop motion where you just.
So a lot of people who speedrun Super Mario 64, they don't even do all the levels. They just bolt all the way up, and then they just go straight through the door, and then they fight Bowser.
Yeah, they glitch through it. So ultimately, a lot of times,
and then there's plenty of them. Yeah, super, like Mario 64 is one of those ones where you can just if you watched it, you're like, I didn't know you could do that. I know you could do that. I know you could do that.
Yeah,
I have no idea how in fuck they did that one. I did it, just over and over and over again.
I like that though. I think that's cool. I'm with the comments there. I'm not like necessarily into it. I like watching it.
Oh, I love the idea.
You know what? Maybe I don't like it because I just can't do it. Like
I know
just
I can't
not
do it.
That
and like I've tried. Doing my own small speed runs with stuff like Mega Man X and something, I'm like, I can't do it.
Yeah, I've never been able to do it, and I'm cool with it. I'm glad it's a thing.
I have a friend that could easily could do it with the Mega Man X games.
We should do a Mega Man X night and just
speed run through Mega. Yeah.
I have part one for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, I was gonna say I have it on the Super Nintendo also.
That's great. Travis says in the chat rooms, I hate how speedrunners always skip the story. I want to watch, and that sort of thing. That's sort of where I come from. That is that I love to kind of watch things unfold.
Yeah,
and especially
I
do understand the idea of like I gotta beat this quickly and stuff like that. I think certain games are more geared towards that. Like I think,
well, the whole point of speedrunners is that they already know what's happening.
Yeah,
so they don't have
too.
To stop.
I don't
want to
go through
the story. It's not like they grab a guy and I'm like, I need you to speedrun. Fucking like chrono trigger, and then like and if they've never played it before, they're like, I can't do that because I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing.
I think there's certain games that are more geared towards that now. Like I think a lot
Super
of the
Mario
guys...
Brothers is a perfect one for that kind of thing, though.
Like I think the Mega Man's now, especially like with Mega Man, like you know nine
Mega Man
and ten
1 through 6.
Well, 9 and 10. Well, because even like that. They added that component. If you kept up with the Mega Man Legends,
the new stuff,
the re-release thing, whatever they're making,
we
with, like
talked
the,
about it. Yeah. Couple, yeah.
So they put a couple of beta footage on the Capcom YouTube channel. And they actually have a lot of leaderboard stuff. Like, they actually have some weird challenges where it's like they give you a certain subset of like items, and they say accomplish all the different. Sorry, there's a whole bunch of stuff like that. I'm getting messages for the Heroes Tournament.
The Heroes Tournament.
I still gotta
finish the Heroes of the Storm.
I still gotta finish a couple.
Heroes
games.
Of the Storm Eagles is a game I would play for some reason.
I have to still.
I love the idea of that.
Heroes of the Storm Eagles.
Heroes of the Storm Eagles. Just always playing that song. Mega Man X. Like I play the shit. Every character is just
Legend.
Storm Eagles.
So,
yeah.
So like within the new Mega Man things, they're actually putting like these sort of challenges where it's like. You begin in like Airman 2's level as things are flying around. You have all the items, whatever, and you warp to Mega Man 3 or whatever and do that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of those things that are meant for speed runs and stuff like that, I think. And they do a lot of those challenges. And I think like those games are perfect for that because they have the built-in mechanism to say, you're now going against a leaderboard with this. There's a competition aspect. Where part of me goes like, I know everyone loves doing game, you know, quick games and stuff like that. But I'm like, I just can't do it with like Chrono Trigger. Even if I know the story, I can't do it. I love that game too much.
What's one game that would you absolutely cannot speedrun? Like, what's a
Metal Gear Solid 1?
Like you couldn't speedrun. Like you couldn't speedrun because you don't want to speedrun it.
Yeah, because I would not skip any of the cutscenes. I would sit there the entire time watching every little thing.
Yeah. No.
Whereas if I didn't do that, I easily could speedrun that game.
But oh yeah,
I can't skip any of those things. I have to sit there and listen to Liquid talk about random fucking nonsense.
I always wonder how I can punch him in the face. The one thing I've always wondered in terms of like a math equation, like and not because I don't think it's a great game. I think it's actually pretty. You know, people who love the game.
Do you mean by not speedrun, just because you're not good at the game, or do you just mean
Would you even try a speedrun in X game?
I would try. I've tried speedruns on a couple of games, but they're usually platformers.
Right. I'm saying, like, because I wouldn't
like beat-em-up games.
You there. But
like Maximum Carnage is a game that I would try the speedrun.
But here's the.
That shit's hard.
But here's the. got it. Because, I mean, like, I've always wondered. And again, it's not to say the game's bad. I think it's actually a great game. And that. I've always wondered how much of a game Metal Gear Solid 4 would be without cutscenes.
I almost considered timing it once that way, but I ended up just watching the cutscene anyways.
Right, which is not a big deal. Like, the cutscenes are great, and they're fine, and there's some interaction with them,
too. Well, the final cutscene in the entire game is, like, almost two, three hours long is what it felt like. It basically is. Like, I remember sitting down and staring at the credits for a while, because there's something after the credits, but you can't skip the credits.
I think Metal Gear gets the, you know, the five top things you hate about a video game, and Metal Gear makes
The Metal Gear series is one of those games that if you can't get past the insane length of a cutscene, you're never going to enjoy the game, kind of thing.
Yeah, well,
which
and
is
I will,
hard
I,
to do.
I have to admit, I'm a little impatient, and King's Quest, it's beautiful, and I like the storylines, and I'm watching it, but like they're like la-la-la talking, grandpa talking to the granddaughter, granddaughter's talking to the cousin, and I'm like, okay, get on with it. I'm ready to go quest around.
See, it's even worse with Metal Gear Solid, because there's a lot of philosophical random nonsense that they'll be. Mm. Like, he'll just be like, all right, now I'm going to talk about war for like about half an hour real quick. And then after that, I need you to go to defuse a bomb. I'm like, what?
You could have just told me that.
Could have told me that while I was defusing the bomb, kind of thing.
So we're almost out of extra time. We've almost.
We were talking about philosophy the whole time. You see, that's what happens.
Speaking of philosophy, have you guys kept up with the whole Razer thing?
The who?
The Razer. The whole Ouya selling a Razer.
Yeah, you have to make sure.
Okay, so do you know what the Ouya system was? Do you know what
the
Ouya?
I'm picturing Ouya selling Gillette.
Wow. I didn't know if you were having a speech thing happening there. I don't know what just happened.
So have you kept up with this?
I have, actually.
All right, so let me tell you what the Ouya. So sometime back in the past, there was a system called the Ouya. It was one of the most successful hardware Kickstarters to come out. It was this little console, and I wish Charles were here because he would have brought his probably with him because
we know one or two people with.
I know Charles. Charles of this podcast owns a goddamn.
I actually considered it once.
You're looking it up, aren't you?
I am looking it up, but go on.
It was an Android system.
Yep,
and it just. It had so many problems. It's hard to explain.
It had a bunch of promises like right away. It was the first time for like a long time ago when they were saying, well, it's indie friendly kind of thing, because this was before the big three companies were you know, open arms kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because at the time, like, indies had a hard time making it out.
The market, of course.
And so Ouya was just like, come to us. We'll even pay you, like, a giant chunk of money if you finish the game.
Yeah.
Kind of
so they had a lot of weird things going down the pipeline.
Its Kickstarter did really well because of all these promises. And then it finally came out. And there were some good stuff on it.
Like, yeah, let's see. So the Ouya Kickstarter, if you're ever curious as to how much money it truly made, they had asked for... I don't even
go to campaign.
Yeah, go to campaign because it updates. So they had asked for some amount of money. They had asked for
like close to a mil,
close to a million. They made 8.5 mil. So people believed in this thing.
I kind of did for a little bit.
I knew a lot of
time it was like
this thing,
and it was a nice idea
a while
this
back.
Was, what maybe three, 4
this
years
this was. Let's
I
see,
like
the
how
Kickstarter...
a while back is 3 years ago. Like we're definitely in the technology.
Well, it looked September 20 or.
Yeah, let's.
Well,
that's the estimated
delivery.
Let's see. I'm trying to find when it's created by Ouya.
It doesn't have it on the top or something.
It probably will somewhere. Well, they last logged in 20.
Well, the fact that their estimated delivery was 2012. That's a while back.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
We'll put it there. So yeah, they were supposed to be this.
So what's the, oh, that's cool.
So.
Story with the.
It was like $100.
So long story
shorter.
It's
a $99 console.
So they made a console. And
it was really cheap. It was like $100.
They had not quite understood how making hardware works. And they had delays upon delays upon delays upon delays. And what would have been a very well-funded Kickstarter became infamous for just not launching in the best way possible.
It had every problem.
The guys who made it had never really done hardware before.
They were more of a software.
You're not a software guy.
Well, because even understanding things like when you do anything that's physical, especially, physical fulfillment's a bitch and a half when it comes to anything. When you have to figure out a pipeline for hardware and how that pipeline goes and how you get to the end of the line for the pipeline, you have to set shit up. You have to, talk to manufacturers. You have to test hardware. You have to figure out what goes in this. How you have to have all these kind of manufacturing things that go into it, and they had not really figured out. So it didn't have the best of launches. And then when it launched,
It was a piece of crap.
It was because it was.
The controller was terrible.
The controller was like very laggy.
It was so bad.
They had to fix some stuff in patches like that. And again, it was ultimately this Android machine that ran Android games.
It's not very well.
But at the time, most Android games were meant for things like your tablet or your phone.
Right. Or phones.
It wasn't meant for things with controllers.
It did legitimately have one or two good things on it.
But you know what a lot of people made for? A lot of people made emulators for it. It really was like this.
Just becoming another emulator machine.
Like people end up putting like all their different Android-based emulators on
the
Wii.
Even then, it didn't work that
well. No, it didn't. It wasn't solid. And
that's crazy.
And
this is actually the first time I'm ever hearing about the Ouya.
The Ouya was the thing that came. Successful was that?
The Ouya popped out around the time On Live was the thing.
I remember On Live. Yeah. So it just didn't do so hot. So
fucking On Live.
Long story short, let's flash forward to now. It is at a point where, they had to file for bankruptcy. And they sold their company to Razer. And so there's been a whole lot of weird things that are now coming out of the deal, like the fact that they had this weird, to just try to get people to fucking develop for the thing. They had this like bounty that you could do where as an indie developer,
I mentioned it earlier,
$1 million fund or $10 million.
Yeah, once you're done with the game, you would essentially have $1 million. But what it was is that they didn't pay. The way it worked was that you started the game. Once you made it in a beta, they gave you a chunk of it. And then once it was out of beta, they gave you another.
Yeah,
chunk
you
of
basically
it. Once it was completely done, then you got the
at
rest
first
of the
you had to sort of make the game exclusive for Ouya for a period of time.
Okay.
They then relaxed that and said, "All right, Ouya and PC, basically you don't put this anything else. But after the year's up, whatever, then you can go wherever you want."
Okay.
And the idea being that you did that as a developer, you'd get the chunk of funding that you needed to finish the game for, say Xbox One or whatever. The only problem is once they sold the company. By their contracts,
we're no longer
the company, so you guys don't get the money anymore. Sorry.
A lot of the developers that were making these indies, were very heavily relying on those funds.
Of course, they were.
Now,
some people were down
$5,000. It is resolved, and Razer's going to figure out a way to do it. But even that's messy because they're you have to release it on their platform and stuff like that. Like, there's a lot of weird things,
There's a lot of money in this thing, agreement like this.
It's so fascinating because I remember when we had an old episode with Bryce and I that we had talked about it way back when the Ouya and just like this sort of thing that should have been interesting because even Charles and I talked about this on our podcast on 8-Bit Life way back when. I forgot the episode.
It was a very interesting thing when it was popping up because it was the first time a console was really cheap for one.
Yeah.
And also the idea of that any indie developer could put something on it was huge at the time.
Great concept for execution.
Yeah, everything about it was a great idea.
Every time.
Everything about
that,
it. And
that
then
is,
it,
that's too bad. Because actually just hearing about it, I'm like, ooh, that actually sounds and like, and like not the, so much, I guess.
And like the Hindenburg, when it seemed like a really good idea at the time, somebody yelled out, "Oh, the humanity."
Well, it was, I don't know if I would compare the who you launched to the Hindenburg.
I think it was pretty close to that. Yes.
I'm not that quite confident to say that.
It was pretty bad.
But
yeah, it wasn't
games,
everything's
I'm like,
on fire.
Wow,
bad.
I'm gonna get some of these.
Yeah, but
there was one that I actually played at a Fantastic Fest
so
that came out.
Own Ouyas? Like, I mean,
oh yeah, like so Charles owns one. I'll make him bring it in next time you're on and he's on. I'll make him bring it in so you could.
Yeah, there was.
See all the emulators.
I almost bought an Ouya for that game I played at Fantastic Fest, which was a lot like the that samurai one that we played, except it was a bow and arrow kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I played it at Fantastic Fest. I'm like, this is great. And like, what's it going to be out for? He's like, well, it's going to be on the Ouya. And I was just staring at him. I'm like, that's weird.
That's weird.
You like you realize PC's a thing. Like you realize Steam's a thing. Like you could still release. Well, and again, we should point out. I think this is before things like Project Greenlight became a thing.
Well, this was like I said, this was before all of these people were being.
But you could
friendly.
Still you could still put it on the PC. Like that's what bugged me when people were like, we're gonna vote for the Ouya. Like, do you know
PC's
all
the money
a thing?
Thing.
Right?
It was clearly just them apparently trying to get that money kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was clear that they developed this thing on a PC kind of thing.
No, yeah.
Like, when I played it, I was using 360 controllers and everything connected to a PC, basically. And they're like, yeah, it's coming on the Ouya. And I'm just like, that's weird. Like, at the time, it's $100. I might buy an Ouya just to play this kind of thing. Because it was cheap, you know? The idea that it was just like, yeah, it's real quick. And the Ouya wasn't even out yet at the time.
Tandagasa is the chat room. Ouya,
ridiculous.
It had Towerfall.
It had Towerfall.
That's a trademark.
It had one or two things.
It
tops.
Because it was just sad.
It was sad.
We're almost out of time here. But before we do, have you kept up with the whole Red Ash Kickstarter? The Mega Man Legends S game. I realize I'm putting you on the spot, Rosa.
No, I have not. No, you mentioned it, and I have it online.
So Red Ash, for those people who didn't hear last week, is Inafune, of course, the guy making Mighty No. 9, famous for all the Mega Man series, whatnot. Essentially, for lack of better words, it's the Mega Man Legends version of the Mighty series. Like it's in that line. Like if Mighty No. 9 is a spiritual successor to Mega Man, this is like the spiritual successor to Mega Man Legends. It has one of the weirdest Kickstarter things.
What makes it weird?
So Kickstarter happens, and I should point out right now that it's halfway funded. It's like 19 hours to go. Somewhere like down the line, and I don't know exactly when.
I found out like 3 or 4 days ago.
Yeah, somewhere,
maybe not even.
Somewhere during the campaign, I guess a publisher, a Fuse, came in the mix, and is now and said, you know what? We'll just fund the game. So the game's going to come out.
No matter what.
And the Kickstarter midstream became this like, well, if you guys want more content, you can kick in money.
Wow, okay.
The funniest thing about this is that the Kickstarter, when we last checked it, was over 500.
Yeah.
And now it's under 500,000.
Yeah. it's bizarre. Like, because here's the Kickstarter for Red Ash.
No, we should have looked at the comments
the
for it.
I think it actually dropped. Okay, it went up a little bit now.
It's just a little bit since we last checked it.
800,000 are goal. I say goal in very much air quotes because it's bizarre. It's so strange because, like, again, you can't change. The sad part is they can't change a Kickstarter in midstream to like adjust the value. So they may relaunch this again, and that may happen for all I know. Because. It's weird because everyone who's kicking this game, unless it gets funded, will not get this game through their respective Kickstarter. They'll have to get it through some other ways because the Kickstarter doesn't. Because you know,
but if they're getting their money back, then
they're going to get their money back.
They're going to,
and
anyway.
It's just like it's just so strange. It's one of those weird, like, it's bizarre because even when that happened, it wasn't quite funded yet either.
It wasn't even really.
It wasn't even a thing, like, because like everyone like clamor. Everyone's at least online has been very vocal about we want another Mega Man Legends game.
Yep.
Here's your thing. No, we want actually another Mega Man Legends. We want Capcom to develop it versus.
They're not.
No, they're not. Of course
they're
not.
Pretty.
They're working. They've got.
I'm not sure what's going on in Capcom.
They got Street Fighter
V
in the brain, and that's fine.
Even then, like out of everything else in their series, I don't hear them announcing much anymore.
It happens.
Like, Resident Evil 2 thing is the newest thing they've talked about.
Oh, yeah, the idea that hey, if you guys
want
to...
You want us to remake Resident Evil 2?
You gotta let us know.
It probably wouldn't be that hard, and it'll make us money. We just want to be sure.
It's weird. But this is the strangest one.
It's clearly what it was.
Yeah, but this is just strange for me, not because it's a Kickstarter, like I'm glad it is. It's just, it's a weird thing of like, well, this is coming out... Your Kickstarter money doesn't matter. Ultimately, none of this matters.
We just, all it is that we accidentally pitched it to the internet
And now then it's somebody else, and you don't
somebody
get
else picked
your
it up, and now
part.
The internet doesn't give a fuck.
I think it's bizarre. Is that like they kicked it to the internet? The internet's supposed to fund it. Someone midstream said, "I'll give you
I'll
the
do
money."
It.
Well, then they
I'll take the case,
and then they didn't even bother. Like it's like
they should have just done the rest of the funding here.
That's what I was saying. I'm like, I kind of wanted the guy who funded, like, just like hit the fucking back this project for $8,000 or whatever, just to
it would have
collect
helped.
Some of the
it
money.
It would have made it a little easier on
you
them.
Know, if nothing, and you don't have to.
We'll
you know,
keep an eye on it.
You could put a fake credit card. You know, as a company, you could put a fake credit card in there or something.
Something.
You know, you have a deal in the books that says otherwise. Yeah. All you know, like there should have been something worked in. There should be some weird loophole. I mean, like even working with like Kickstarter on this, like you
that's
know,
a, that's a good chunk of money to just lose.
Yeah, I guess. Weird because it's like 18 hours ago as of right now, and it's a little under a $500,000. Their goal is $800,000 for extra content, which whatever that means. Like we're in like this is stretch goal territory.
Like
these are stretch goals that will probably that may or may not ever happen unless they like open a PayPal thing or whatever to do it, which typically happens when they get funded. I don't know. It's weird because I'm kind of weirded out because I mean I kicked into my number 9. And, you know, that's going to come out eventually.
Pretty soon, actually.
Although I heard apparently retail like got kicked to 2016, but I don't know.
Well, it turns out, they came out with a story, I think, like yesterday or the day before that. It turns out it's not delayed.
So. Oh, okay. Even if it was, I wouldn't care. I'm not a big deal.
I've waited this long.
I got other games.
There's plenty
of
other things I haven't beaten, so.
Yeah, that's why. There's other things.
I started playing a Dragon Ball game on my phone recently.
Yeah,
oh my god, what is it? What?
Dragon Ball.
The mobile game.
Doken Battle?
Yeah, I've heard about it.
It's not bad. It's okay.
I've heard it's really confusing.
It's really weird. I don't know what's happening at the time, but I'm having fun with it.
It's on everything, probably.
I think it's on everything, probably.
Yeah, I've heard it's like the kind of game, I think the guys at Funhouse are talking about it, that like, you can't do this in the toilet.
I don't know what's like. Well, you can, but it's really odd.
Because like a card game and it's like a fighting game or something like that.
Well, because all it is just like it's a game where you have these cards kind of thing, but you're still fighting, and so it's these little like you have these little key orbs that are different colors, and then you match them to your character, and it does the key. You can still do whatever. Like
right,
you don't
right.
have to use those. But it's more power. Like it's actually not all that hard. But it's hard at the same time because
right. it's a little more confusing. Mobile game.
It doesn't immediately tell you what to do.
Dragon Ball Z Abridged.
Of course, I love. Charles just discovered it recently.
Oh my god! You know, Team Four Star was just at San.
They were just. I saw them the last San Japan.
Oh, okay,
I went there last
usually?
Year.
I was so sad that I just didn't make it this weekend. I'm going to Texas.
My friends went, and they apparently saw their panel this time.
Next weekend, 7th, 8th, I'll be at RTX.
Yeah, because I went last year. To their thing.
We'll talk about that later.
All right.
I ended up meeting them in the hotel afterwards. It's like it was like the end of the night.
So
I was hanging out with my friends. They were clearly super fucking tired, and they were just walking by, and I just waved by them. I'm like, oh, I'm a big fan. They're like, oh, that's cool. And they're just like,
that's
I wasn't going to stop them, but like, hey, because like, I was like, they're fucking tired. It's like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
They've been on their feet probably most of the day.
Right.
And I've been wearing, I was wearing my brother's proton pack the entire day.
Okay, because
my back
was
fucking killing me.
The whole Ghostbusters thing.
Yeah, I was fucking tired as shit. Like, so even I was like, I don't even want to deal with this.
But yeah, this is such a bizarre. It's bizarre for me because I
so you're perturbed, like your aura.
Only because typically a Kickstarter, like if a Kickstarter doesn't get funded, that thing shouldn't happen. I mean, it's happened before. Like there's been games that have not been funded and after the fact have become games. Like I think it was President of the United States or President of the World was a game that went for a Kickstarter, failed. And I think it failed.
Citizens of the Earth?
Citizens of the Earth, yeah. It had done a Kickstarter.
Like, President of the United States is a band.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever Citizens of the Earth, whatever that game was, it kickstarted. I
really
almost funded into it because it was like had a lot of Earthbound vibes and stuff like that.
Yeah. It pretty much is a lot like that.
I just didn't.
It's on the Wii.
The real reason I think it was very difficult to get funded was because it put itself in Canadian dollars.
It was really weird.
And that's sometimes a
very tricky.
It's tricky because you can send any currency you want, and so it's tricky for America to go like, well, I mean, how much is?
Yeah, how much does it actually need?
How much
right
is money?
Now?
You know, and that that kind of thing. But then. Atlas would then at the end of it say, you know, it's a really good idea for a game. Let's make that. And so Atlas would help publish that game. And
it's legitimately a lot of fun. I played it with my friend has it for his Wii U.
So this is not totally uncommon. It's just weird because this is, again, one of the more big concept indie guys. now. And riding on the Mighty No. 9 train.
I think what makes it uncommon is the fact that it happened midway.
Yeah.
Because that's just not something that happens.
No, no. It's rare that so. Because again, the idea being like.
Like with the
they should just let it all fizzle and then announce.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Bloodstained, it made sense because it's like, look, we're already funded. This is all.
Well, yeah,
Bloodstained said,
we have funding.
We just need to show that people want it.
We can get funding if we get to this point. And like that's what's weird is like they got to a point and then someone said, "We'll help you develop the game. This can all be fund money." Just the idea again. If it's done in 18 hours, it doesn't get funded. None of that money gets collected.
Yeah, nothing.
And I guess that's why I find it very strange because a lot of guys are like who are kicking in are like there's like an anime project going on in conjunction with this, or like saying, well, I'm keeping a dollar here now, but I'm moving my money to the anime because I think that's going to get... Like people are confused.
That'll probably end up getting funded.
The comments are strange. Like I think the last comment, one of the top ones is please consider donating to the anime if you haven't already. It's 92% funded. Every little bit helps.
I'm going to keep my pledge there.
Oh, yeah, trying to divert. So once this fizzles out, take your pledge and support the anime. Which is
yeah, some people, like, it's obvious that some people already, like, took their pledge out because when we first saw it, or the last time I saw it prior to the day, it was over 500.
But yeah, and apparently that they may relaunch it, and I would almost suspect that they're going to relaunch because if they're already funded, they can relaunch saying, "Hey guys, this is for extra content now." Now that things have changed, you can't change that midstream and whatnot.
Yeah,
we are fully out of time.
Woo-hoo!
We are completely out of time, but don't worry, we'll return next week. We might be a bit later next week because RTX is going on, Rooster Teeth Expo, as it's better known, and I'll be there doing all attending all their gaming stuff like that. So we may be a bit later that day, but we'll be back on Sunday because nothing's happened that night. So we'll it'll be all good. Rosa, Michael, thank you so much for joining me today. Where can people find you online, Rosa?
I will be in Heroes of the Storm as usual and occasionally streaming on Twitch as We Devour.
There you go. What about you, Michael?
Well, you can find me on the internet. So I'll be at Twitter's at MichaelXRealHus, and it'll be random nonsense. Also, you can sometimes find me on my friend's YouTube channel, Late to the Let's Play, and I'll also maybe be playing Mega Man X with the idea of Heroes of the Storm Eagle stuck in my head.
And of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404 there on the Twitters. If you want to catch your previous episodes of this podcast, you can head over to our website, cosmicradio.tv/jumppoint. There you'll find links to all the different things, our Twitter account, which is at jumppointpod. And of course, if you're watching this on YouTube, live or recorded, hit that big old subscribe button if you're there and catch any of the other video content we do here on the network. So that's it for today. See you next time. And as always,
Sproing.
Did you forget?
No, I didn't. I was waiting for the 3, 2, 1.
We can still do it again.
Okay, again.
All right.
Ready?
Okay.
Sproing.
Well, fuck, now I mess it up.
Well, fuck it. That's what's
done. Fuck it. We're done. We're doing done live.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.